All right. Get them likes up. Lay El Kid at one. So hold it down. Bring that street geek and nerd. So what is up, my people, today? Oh, yeah. Coming with another wonderful episode of That's Right. Yo, we here on screen. Nerd Soul doing our thing. And we're talking about The Mandalorian Season 2. Episode 3. Man, we got some stuff to get into. It's going to be a lot of fun. First announcement I want to drop on y'all is that usually I do this show on Friday nights, but I also do lounging earlier before this show. So due to schedules and craziness and behind the scenes stuff, look, something got to give. All right? You can't be doing 3-4 shows on a Friday. Things got to move around. So, what up, Eon 001? What up? That's right. Give me all the fan service. So, Mandalorian reviews will be moving to Saturday nights. So, just so you know, tonight is Friday night, of course, but next week we'll be doing it on Saturday, so you don't miss nothing, and, you know, schedules will be cool. Shouts out to Cassandra Sellers up in the house. Nice to see you. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing to see y'all sunshiny faces. But guess what? We got to get rainy, dirty, funky, stank, and them dusty waters. You know what I'm saying? With the Mon Cal, with the Quarren. That's right. Mandalorian style. Eon 001, Cassandra Sellers, let me know what you thought about the episode. If y'all saw it before we get started. And I'm just going to keep it real with y'all. This episode, once again, they flexing that budget, yo. Oh, man. We flexing this budget. Now, I will agree, Eon 001, I see where you're coming from. He said, I've got to keep it real. We need to wrap up this Baby Yoda thing this season. I agree. Not that I have anything against Baby Yoda, but I do think that, you know, I think it's beginning to run its course. You know what I'm saying? I think it's beginning to run its course, and I agree with you. I think wrap up Baby Yoda this season, send him off with his people, and everything will be fine. You know what I'm saying? Let him take him to his people, and it seems like that's what we're going to be doing next episode, what we'll talk about later. But this episode, man, yo, flex that budget. From the ship to the ship's landing the ST Walker or whatever that they use as like a crane now, to the fish monster that they kept, to them flying around to the huge Imperial ship. Everything looks so good in this episode. Yo, man. I can't front. This show is looking good. And Cassandra Sellers says, I watched this episode a couple of hours ago. Agree, by Baby Yoda. Yeah, Baby Yoda is time. I think he's run his course. Not that I don't like him, but I do think the storyline is going a little long. It's getting a little long in the tooth. And I think ending this season with him meeting his people and being safe back with his folks would be a good thing. And then we can start off season 3 with no kind of baggage that we have to, like, extra protection. You know what I'm saying? Mandalorian could be on his own. So, speaking of this, one thing that I thought was funny was homie essentially crash lands he did make the platform. He crashes, lands on the platform. Then there's like a backfire explosion that throws him into the water, where in which he has to get pulled back out the water. His first words to the dude on the dock is, can you fix it? Fix what, bruh? Where do I start? You need to send this to the great ship heaven in the sky. All right, this thing is done. I love the Razor Crest too, but let's keep it real. Razor Crest has seen brighter days. Yo, man, I ain't gonna lie to you. That ship has seen many L's. And this season, this ship is getting toned up. All way toned up. Normally I'd be like, yo, look, hey, you know, you can, you know, put a little paint, you know, buff out a scratch or something. Yo, there's serious damage with this ship, man. Like, you had to fly with the captain's thing closed. You got holes all over the place. The back thing don't even close up. The hangar thing don't close up. The door's all open. A huge spider jumped on it, poked his hand through the window. Look, bruh, sometimes you got to give up the ghost. You need to go to the Galactic CarMax and see what you can pick up. All right? I'm just saying. Because it's not looking good, man. It's not looking good. But, you know, he like Eon 001 said, yeah, just gave some random guy credits. Yo, when he came back to the ship, it looked like there was mad duct tape on there. But he did tell him before he even left. He said, fix? No. I can make it fly. I can get you to a real mechanic. Look, I can throw two donuts on your hoopty. And a used tire on the front, and you can hobble to a real shop. Like, cause that Razor Crest needs some help. And you know what? Next episode, that Razor Crest better not be brand new. All right. It's just gonna be looking like it just came off the lot. So yeah, I did like seeing that. I like seeing that, you know, he's going through struggles, like these everyday struggles where he's kind of like bleeding money sometimes. And, you know, we got the Frog Mama in tow. Frog Mama, take him to the little Dusky Bar. Is there ever a nice establishment? Are there any clean restaurants outside of like Coruscant? Like, and when I say clean restaurant, I'm not saying that you have to be able to eat off the floor, but I mean, can you have a tablecloth, my dude? Like, they got a hose at your table that they just dump out mystery meat with random squids in that joint. About to kill Baby Yoda. About to impregnate him with a little baby. Man, like, I don't know. So Eon 001 says, I don't know the timeline. Where's Luke and Han at this point? Okay, so the timeline of this show is, this is after... Is it supposed to be 3 or 5 years? This is after Return of the Jedi. So this is after Return of the Jedi, but way before episode 7, which is, of course, you know, when we meet Rey, when we meet Finn, when we meet Poe. It's way before that. Way before the First Order. We're still dealing with like remnants of the Empire, stuff like that. So yes, after Return of the Jedi, 5 years after. Thank you. Thank you, first name after one. Thank you. Because I couldn't remember if it was 3 or 5. So yeah, 5 years after, we're still dealing with, you know, a couple of outposts in the far reaches where the New Republic can't really deal with. I haven't read Bloodlines, but I know that deals with Leia and... the Republic, the New Republic and stuff. So maybe that might line up with some of this stuff. But, it's a period where everything isn't perfect right now, which is one thing I like seeing from the X-Wing pilots in last episode. They're like, look, we gave you some help. So in this episode, you know, of course, we get some dirty advice. We knew it was dirty. We didn't know what it was, but we knew something was dirty because he was like, have you ever seen, you know, whatever that monster was? Let me know what that monster was. Ever seen the monster eat? And I was just like, why? Something seems strange. Then homie just knocked the baby in there. put the baby, but at least the baby was smart. Baby Yoda was like, he put that little tin roof on him. Obi-Wan's dead. Yoda's dead. Of course, they got, you know, Force Ghosts, but they did. Luke is around somewhere. Because this is probably around the comic book time, which I'm not sure. The only comic book that I followed was the first run of Darth Vader. Darth Vader is in its second run now. But the first run of Darth Vader is, whoo, that's some heat. When I get a chance, I'm going to get that in hardcover. That first run of Darth Vader is some fire. So anyway, knock him into the water. After we see the mysterious girl in the cut with the hoodie on, right? And then who comes through? Bo Mother Katan, son. Yo. All right, look, I'm going to let y'all know this. I've known that Katie Sackhoff was going to be in this show like 2 years ago, but I couldn't say nothing to y'all. So I apologize for keeping that from y'all, but I've known for quite some time. But it's good to see her in this. And it's good to see the jump from Clone Wars to this. But there's some adverse effects as well. We'll talk later. But one thing I loved about this is they came through and you saw Mandalorians wreck shop in real life, live action. Pick-ow, pick-ow, pack-pack-pack, slag it. You know what I'm saying? Everything. And it was dope. Homegirl, he said the baby's down there. Homegirl was like, I'm on it. You ain't seen no hesitation. She was like, I got you. Boom, right in the water, come out, poop, poop, poop. See a couple of lights, she came out with the baby, and the baby was live, y'all. Like, yo, Mandalorians don't play at all. And I'm going to jump forward real quick to the moment where he comes back, because they blow up the ship that, you know, the coroner on when they try to, you know, double cross him. And when he come back to the port, he's like, yo, you killed my brother. It's like, no, your brother killed your brother, all right? He shouldn't try to double cross me. He know I'm a Mandalorian. He got what he got. So anyway, they try to gang up on him. And this is after your boy's like, yo, I don't even rock with y'all. We'll get into that in a second. They still showed up and held him down. Let's talk about being on code. My people, let this episode be an example to us about being on code. The brother was like, yo, man, look, I don't go this way. I don't never take my helmet off. I'm out. They could have just been like, yo, psh, he left. We don't care about him. Did they do that? Nah. When Static came, what'd they do? They stepped to it and held him down. He ain't had to call their name. He didn't have to ask. He didn't have to beg and plead them to help. They showed up and wreck shop. Why? Because I am my brother's keeper. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, this is the way, y'all. So I did like that. I was like, yo, they on code. You know what I'm saying? Because even though there was like, yo, we different factions, a Mandalorian is a Mandalorian, and we got your back. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, you know, Q-Tip said it best. Black is black. That's all I'm going to say. You know, I'm going to just leave it at black is black. You know what I'm saying? Be on code. That's all I'm saying. Be on code. We won't have these problems. So back to what I love most about this episode as far as learning more lore around Mandalorians is in Rebels, we learned a lot through Sabine. And of course, that was a different time. That's, you know, you're talking about before episode four. So now you're now learning what's going on after episode six and the interactions and how they feel and the different factions. And, you know, they take off their masks and immediately he's like, oh, what? And old girl is like, yeah, what do you mean? And she's like, oh, you're one of the, you know, it's like Baptist rolling up and be like, oh, you're Kojic. Oh, okay. We get it. No harm, no foul. We understand. You know what I'm saying? It was like, yo, we ain't got no beef with you. It's just, you know, this is how we roll. And he was like, that's not Mandalorian way. And she's like, yo, I don't know if you know, but I've been Mandalorian deep, deep, deep in these streets. You know what I'm saying? Three generations deep. My sister was Satine, B. All right? You know about Satine? Look it up. All right? Go watch the Clone Wars and come back. No, she can't say that. Anyway, but I like to see how they reference each other and how they speak about each other. And even though they're two different factions of Mandalore and Mandalorians, ain't, you know, oh, Watchmen, thank you. Even though, you know, they're not, you know, the coolest, they're not the best of friends, they show up for each other. And that's something that I really loved about this. And even later, we see when they're on the ship with the Imperial Guard, you see him, he's very, very surprised and taken back about Bo-Katan changing her deal. Because, of course, the way he was brought up, this is the way he was brought up was, your word is your bond. You ain't got your word, you ain't got poop. You know what I'm saying? So it's very interesting seeing the inner workings of Mandalorian politics now after the Purge, after Return of the Jedi, especially knowing what we know from before A New Hope, through the eyes of Sabine. And, you know, statements like, well, they couldn't control Mandalore, so they made sure no one could. You know what I'm saying? That was very interesting. And I love those little nuggets that we get in conversation. Don't sit us down and say, exposition time. Just let us in on a conversation, small statements here and there, you know, and we'll glean insight from that. Shouts to Eon 001 says, yeah, the Mandalorian lore is interesting, and I look forward to seeing how it ties to Boba. I'm guessing Boba stole the armor, or maybe he was raised by the Watch and defected. Yeah, because we know from Clone Wars that, you know, his dad, you know, took an L, and he was out on his own, like Patti LaBelle. I had to throw it in there. But anyway, he became a bounty hunter for a minute, and then all of a sudden, you know, he went solo, and, you know, the rest is history. You know, we thought he got ate up, and then it was like, nah, he ain't get ate up. So now we'll see how that plays up against the Mandalorian that we know, and up against even characters like Bo-Katan and her crew. Because I really love the internal politics of that. I think it's dope. I think it's super dope. Having them around to really help flesh out who they are and what's going on in Mandalore this time is dope. Especially if that might be some kind of holdout for the last piece of the Empire. But shouts to First Name After One, saying she's going to end up dying fighting for the Darksaber next season. Bo-Katan, I could see doing that. I hope she doesn't have to die, but, you know, I mean, we are talking about Big Brother Almighty, you know what I'm saying? He ain't going to go down like no punk. Eon 001 says, I guess the question is, where did Jango get the armor? Well, I assume that Jango was an actual Mandalorian, but I could be wrong, because, I mean, there's a lot of Star Wars lore, and I can't know it all. But anyway, and I'm not even trying to know it all. I'm just trying to enjoy these shows. But I thought Jango was already a Mandalorian, and the Kaminoans used his biology to make, you know, clones. But I might be lost on that. I might have to go back and watch like episode 2 for that one. Yeah, might have to go back and watch on that one. Shouts out to Marquise Collins up in the chat. So yeah, interesting subplots, conversations, great effects are great. We see Baby Yoda. If you notice, I think they know that Baby Yoda is a lot. So if you notice in this episode, once again, Baby Yoda is, you know, it's like, very small. Every now and then, you know, he eats, there's a little stuff on his face. Then we ain't see him for like mad long. Like, homie disappeared because he was like, took it to the frog lady, like, look, stay with the frogs, I'll be back. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're trying to find creative and interesting ways to cool off Baby Yoda so that we don't get overexposed to him. Because, I mean, Baby Yoda's cute. Shoot, I want a Baby Yoda. You know what I'm saying? Like a real live Baby Yoda. I would raise him up. I mean, you know, I mean, you don't have to really cook food for him. All I got to do is just let him go outside, get some rats or something. He'd be all right. You know what I'm saying? Dude, just eat some spiders or something. I don't know. Anyway, what's cool here is also seeing how well they took down that Imperial ship. Remember when they were in there and the dude said, there's got to be at least 10 of them. He on the radio, it's got to be 10 of them. And the dude was like, well, I only see 4 life signs. They're Mandalorians. And everybody was like, the real came up here. So, you know what I'm saying? Seeing how they, I mean, even the dude said, the dude that's working with Bo-Katan was like, they couldn't hit a Banta if they wanted. Look, these dudes, they ain't trained like us. They ain't that real. And I think it's because, in most cases, the Imperial Army was just literally drafting everybody. You know what I'm saying? Just drafting everybody. So you, as a Mandalorian who's been, like, trained since birth to be cool, karate, and, you know, shooting stuff and throwing knives and everything, they were literally taking people that used to be, like, the barber and trying to make him into a soldier. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, a lot of them going to suck. Because, I mean, you saw you had the Death Troopers in Rogue One. You saw they was, like, a step above. They was, like, sweeter than everybody else. So, you know, those were probably, like, real soldier dudes and the rest of dudes. It was just like, look, it's overwhelming force. Just shoot that way and maybe something will happen. Spray and pray. So, seeing how they systematically, how they work together. And, I mean, they don't fight together. I mean, the Mandalorian, they never fought together. But seeing how they just were in sync, kind of clearing out all the hallways and everything. And even when he was like, cover me and threw the bombs and stuff. That was cool, man. I am all for that action. I'm all for that. I do worry about Bo-Katan and the fact that she didn't keep her word and what that might say about her character in the long term on the show. Can we trust her? Can we back her? Can we say that she's a good guy? You know what I'm saying? We don't know. So let's go on and get into the real deal. He's like, yo, man, you know, y'all know any Jedis? And they looked at each other like, oh, you don't know. they did. But she was like, no, I know one Jedi. I know I can help you out, blah, blah, blah. And I thought they were going to try to be cryptic with it. No, she was like, Ahsoka Tano, she's over here on this planet. Go find her. She can help you. And just tell her I sent you. And I was like, word, we going to say Ahsoka Tano up in this joint? Now, we get into some problems. Hannibal Taboo and I have talked about Star Wars at length with having Ahsoka in this time because questions rise like, yo, well, where were you? Were you going to help? But you could say that Yoda had her in the cut on ice doing like black ops stuff or secret stuff that just he ain't want everybody to know about. And then when Obi-Wan said he's our last hope, talking about Luke, when Yoda said there's another, he could have been referring to Ahsoka and not Leia. But I don't know, that might be me trying to make a reach for the show instead of that being what really went down, because I love me some Ahsoka, but it does raise questions. Raises a lot of questions. Like, yo, like, because at the end of Rebels, I don't know if you watch Star Wars Rebels and y'all, but at the end of Rebels, you find that Sabine has given us the story about after Return of the Jedi. And she's like, or not Return of the Jedi. She said, oh, yeah, Return of the Jedi. Because they say, not Sabine, Hera fought in the Battle of Endor and blah, blah, blah. So she's like kind of recanting that. And you see Ahsoka walk up with like the hoodie and the cane and everything. And she looks dope. Ahsoka looks sick. I love Ahsoka. She's my favorite Jedi of all time. But with her being alive during 4, 5, and 6, questions can arise of, you ain't help nobody? But yes, Eon 001, you're right. The galaxy is a big place, and Ahsoka could have been doing something off-world. I mean, not off-world, but in like the Outer Rim or something like that. And that's probably what they'll say, like she was out, or, you know, Yoda had me on ice just in case I had to come in and, you know, activate. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know. Eon 001, I did see your statement about Ventress. I love Ventress, but unfortunately at this time, Ventress is dead. She died in Dark Disciple, which was Dark Disciple is in between episode 2 and 3. Let me see real quick when is Dark Disciple set, but Dark Disciple is set in the late Clone Wars. Both military and civilian losses are mounting as Count Dooku uses more and more brutal tactics. So then in that case, because Dark Disciple can't be set then because, all right, so then Dark Disciple has to be between 2 and 3, probably closer to 3 than 2. But yeah, unfortunately, Dark Disciple, Ventress dies in that. But Ventress is probably my second favorite character out of Clone Wars. Like, I love Ventress. There's something crazy, chilling, horrifying, and yet still sexy about her voice. So, Ventress, I've always loved her as a character, especially when she did her character turn and seeing how she, you know, became someone new. And then seeing Ventress and Ahsoka working together, I always thought that was dope. And I really wanted a storyline with Ahsoka and Ventress kind of like back to back doing something cool. So unfortunately, you know, right now, Ventress is yet a memory, but I am very excited for next week. Very interested to see what Ahsoka looks like. And I hope they don't, you know, I hope they don't like drag this out where it's like 3 more episodes until we see Ahsoka. Because homie did, you know, use light speed when they came out of orbit, he hit light speed. Looked like he lost his license plate or something when he was doing it. But we'll see if that thing can even hold together through light speed. Because Razor Crest does not look good, y'all. That thing needs help. But all in all, I love this episode. I love seeing Big Brother Almighty being like, you know what to do. Meaning, if they're going to take the ship, you got to kill yourself. Like, and seeing that dedication, like, the Empire, for a side that lost 5 years ago, and there's only like a couple of people left or vestiges left, they ride hard for the Empire, boy. Because I'm going to be honest. If I was in the Empire, I'd be one of them people acting like I was never in the Empire. Like, I'd be one of them people, they'd be like, yo, man, did you work for the Empire? Who? Who did? Me? What Empire? I'm like, I don't know them like that. Nah, I was chilling. Bruh, yeah, you did. We saw you was wearing the white suit and everything. Was that me? Did you see under the suit? Did you see under the mask? I would not be, you know what I'm saying? I would not be this down. Cause when Moff Gideon was like, you know what you gotta do, you gotta take this ship. I was like, you know what you gotta do. I'm gonna take this parachute and y'all do, look, hey, hey, long live the Empire, my aunt. Right? Ain't none of y'all paying my bills. Oh man, shout out to Tyler Bennett in the chat. Oh man, be like, Empire, psh. Who, me? Nah, I ain't know them like that. Nah, bro, I was chilling, I was right here. Like, nah, man, you didn't fight for the rebellion, you was in the Empire. Empire. Remember, you was flying a TIE wing, a TIE fighter. Was I? Do you have visual proof? Do you have videotape? Well, then you don't know. Now, but with that said, did I like this episode? Yes, I like the flex of the special effects are crazy. I love to learn more about the Mandalorians through their interactions and their conversations. I like that, you know, Baby Yoda took a little, you know, dip to the back. And, you know, we got the frogs together. The frogs got together, and the frog, little baby frog, got in the bowl. You know what I'm saying? So we got the tadpole out, and the line will live on. So, you know, I mean, they out there with all them crazy people, them corn. They mean and nasty. So I don't know. They might eat the frogs if they want to, but we'll see. And then, of course, the fight scenes were cool. The shootouts were dope. So I'm really interested to see where we go. We know the Darksaber's in play. We know Bo-Katan wants it. And we know that that showdown with Moff Gideon is probably going to be nuts. So with that said, yo, hey, I'm down. I'm still down. Still here. Shouts to Eon 001 saying they're dragging it out for one more ep. I'm predicting a filler. Get ready. Man, look, I hope we don't have a filler. I hope we don't get a filler episode. But I guess, you know what, it might be time for a filler. Because we've had three episodes of, like, action-packed craziness. So maybe this is an episode, you know, to... Nah. Gotta keep your foot on the gas, yo. Keep your foot on the gas. Don't stop. Keep rolling. So, to the chat, Tyler Bennett, Eon 001, Cassandra Sellers. He out here trying to holler at people. Markeith Collins. Let's see who else we got up in here. First name after one. If I missed you... Much love. It is not a diss. I didn't see your name when I was scrolling, and I probably just missed it on accident. So, NERDSOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all them places. Much love to all y'all beautiful, sunshiny faces. YouTube is the hub. Hit that thumbs up. Helps me in the algorithm. Or you can hit that thumbs down. Still helps, but if you hit that thumbs down, I'm going to drop you in them, I don't know, monster-infested waters. You know, that thing had like three layers of teeth and opened up and bit the baby and went back. You just don't want to be in them waters, all right? Nah. You don't want to wade in that water at all. So, podcast if you want to listen. And, of course, Spotify for those musical jams. With that said, Arcatron, A-R-C-K-A-T-R-O-N, is what I'm leaving y'all with. Space Bridges in stores. Now, all the Four Horsemen are on it. It's great music. Stream it, run those numbers up, or buy it, even better. So from us to you, we thank you for watching, for hanging with us, for kicking it so long. Till next week on Saturday night instead. Me to you, I'm just saying peace. And a woo for you, and a woo for you, and a woo for you. Oh, man, yo. We out. Peace. Good night, y'all.